With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to the Magnet here in Stockport for a brand new edition of the EvoStick NPL show.
Yes!
Oh. Get in there!
Oh my god!
Come on!
We were debating before the start of the show what film references we can enter into the show this evening, but we decided against it because we had nothing. But round the table to offer something extra to the show, we've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Good evening.
Hello. We've got Swampy from FC Radio.
Good evening.
And Five Live.
Thank you very much.
We've got Ian Burke, otherwise known as Burkett, from Radio Manchester.
Hiya.
And from the NPL Facebook group, sponsored by EvoStick, we've got James Hayes.
Hello.
Tony Adley.
I've got it. Fly my EvoStick pretties fly. There we go, Wizard of Oz. And it's all about the FA Cup, to begin with. The Wizard of Oz.
There's no place like Blythe. Something like that. Yeah, maybe.
So we're going to kick things off. Well, there's only one place to start, really, and that's the FA Cup. We've got two teams left. This is remarkable, isn't it, Aaron? It's remarkable. Two teams left in the second round. How's this happened? Yeah. Warrington and Blythe.
I mean, I don't think they're the two anyone would have expected to get this far. Well, maybe Blythe, based on history. Obviously, they've been quite far in the cup before, but I mean, Blythe beat Altrincham 4-1 to get him, and they're clearly there on merit. You know, any team who dispatches a conference team like that from our level has, you know, done a superb job and fully deserves the place in there. Warrington, obviously, beat Exeter, very high-profile game. Everybody in the country knows about Warrington Town and Sean Reid now. Can't get him off our TV screens, but, you know, full credit to them.
Hey, Aaron, can I let you into a little secret?
Go on.
We've got Sean Reid coming up in a couple of minutes' time on this very show.
Doesn't his team sort of go something like, I'll get you, my pretties. You be your little team too.
See, I knew what would happen.
In a Scouse accent, obviously.
If I just throw out the reference, it's all going to happen. But we'll start off anyway with Warrington Town, live on BT Sport on Sunday afternoon. You're a friend of the family. Warrington Town.
Yeah, now, last month, when you said, Warrington have got any chance whatsoever of beating Exeter.
You said no chance.
I said no chance.
Actually, no, you said that about Norton, and you were right about Norton.
I said it about Warrington.
Absolutely no chance.
Well, whatever. I was wrong.
Not in hell's chance.
There's one thing I forgot about Warrington, and that was their pitch. And the pitch played a huge part. They'd got the moles in, they got the tractors out, hadn't they? And I think it put Exeter off a little bit like that. But the thing is, they still had to beat them. They defended resolutely. They defended for their lives. It was brilliant. I was watching it from behind the settee. It was like Doctor Who in the 60s or something. It was absolutely mint. I loved it. However, I do not think they've got a cat in hell's chance of beating Gateshead. And here's why. One, the pitch. Pitch up at the International Stadium or the Thunderdome, if you're a fan of the rugby league side up there.
Javelin holes everywhere.
Everywhere. It's notoriously
shot
bad.
Holes.
Yeah, it's notorious. They ended up a couple of seasons ago playing in Scarborough or Hull or somewhere.
It was 60 miles, 120 mile round trip for a home game for sort of like three quarters of the season. That the actual club actually paid the fans, I think, to travel because it was that bad, the pitch, International Stadium.
Funnily enough, Hyde ended up playing Gateshead up at Blythe towards the end of the season. Another thing is they're away from home, which obviously home advantage is gone and the crowd aren't going to be right there next to them like they were at Cantilever Park. Obviously, the International Stadium, it's got an athletics track round the side, and it's just...
The only chance Warrington have is if they park, not the bus, but indeed, they'll park a house. They'll have to park a house. And if we continue with our reference to... the Wizard of Oz, well, they in hurricane season, the house gets parked.
It was a tornado.
Anyway,
back to you.
Have you not?
Can I just clarify something as well for our listeners who are not from Manchester? Mint means good, just to clarify.
I think, you know, with the predictions, and if you go back to last month and this show, you'll clearly hear me state that Warrington Town, I believed, had a very good opportunity, a very good chance. It wasn't down to the conditions of a pitch. It wasn't down to moles or down to anything other than hard work, determination, good quality. He set his stall out in the right manner. They got a goal early on. And they defended, as you say, resolutely. They killed another night. Yeovil could have had, was it Yeovil?
Exeter.
It was Exeter, sorry, yes. Exeter could have had maybe three or four. But that's the beauty of the FA Cup. You know, you work hard, you get your just reserves.
You rank your chances as well.
I thought Scott Metcalfe was absolutely tremendous on the night.
Yeah.
I thought through the middle, they worked hard. And as I say, you ride it up a little bit. And they've got an opportunity now, second round, more money for them. I can't see anything other than a Gateshead win, in all fairness.
Part of the reason the pitch will be the leveller there is because it's a styles make fights kind of thing. Gateshead are a very good passing side, but the pitch is a little bit of a pudding. However, Warrington, they've got to be missing a couple of key figures, aren't they? They've got no Ben Wharton, they've got no Craig Robinson because of the red cards that they picked up against Kendal. And that's obviously going to make things a bit more tricky for them. Although, on the striker front, they have got Lee Gaskell. He's not cup tied, is he? But no, because they played.
James Hayes' first contribution.
I was going to say, isn't Gaskell cup tied from.
No, because he played against Buxton.
I tell you what, though, you can all sit here and come up with your football cliches all you want, but the best person who knows, I think, is Sean Reid. So it's now time to hand over to me.
What does he know? Does he know something that we don't?
I'll let you hear the interview.
That's what I want
to
hear.
It's over to me interviewing the Sean Reid.
Right, there's only one place we can turn to now for a preview on this weekend's big FA Cup match. It's only Sean Reid, all the way from Warrington Town. Hello, Sean, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay, Paul, how are you?
I'm not so bad. More importantly, how's preparations going for this weekend's big match?
Well, to be fair, they couldn't go any better. I think we've played six games, including the Exeter game, in the incident period. And we've won five and drew one, so and that was a draw away at Salford. So preparations have gone great, results have gone great, and obviously I've got Ben Wharton who's missing. He's the only one who's missing now because Robbo's suspensions was up last night, so he's available as well. So everything's gone smashing.
How do you? Here's a managerial question for you, because I'm not a football expert in any way, shape or form. How do you get your team up for a match after the Exeter City match?
With great difficulty, to be fair, but what I did say to them is, if you drop now, then I know that you've got a flaw in your character, so I'll change you. So it was sort of an ultimatum to them that if you can do it for that game, you can do it for every game you're playing from now to the end of the season. And to be fair to the boys, they've stepped up to the plate.
And it's a second televised game for your good selves as well. It's BT Sport on a Sunday lunchtime. Does that add to the pressure in any way, shape or form, or does it add to the glamour of it?
It's funny, before we went out against Exeter, I just said to them, you know, because they looked a little bit edgy, and I just said, listen, I don't know what's up with you. So I said, there's 2,500 here. You've never played in front of that before. All your families are here. Everyone you know is watching you. And there's about 3 million people on TV watching you. I said, don't get nervous. And like the look on their face, it just broke the ice. They all started laughing. So at the end of the day, they're just playing a game of football. And I've told them to just, you know, think like that. Don't think any more than anything. It's 11v11. It's 90 minutes. You've got to give it all.
There was a moment in the Exeter match I noticed, and I don't know if it was a tactical play by yourself, but their left winger got the ball within the first minute. And I mentioned this on the MPL show last month, and your right back, I think, went right through him. And then that just settled the nerves in the whole match, I think. And you never looked back from that moment in time. Do events like that play a part in those
kind
of
events?
Well,
yeah, I mean, listen, there are 100 places above us in the football pyramid, so they're going to be, you know, they're going to be talented players. Now, you've got to use everything in your armour to stop them getting the advantage. And we just felt that if we got in the faces early on, got stuck into them, and had a right good go at them, then if we unsettled them, that was the most important thing. And I think that's what we did. The first three challenges, I think, the first three passes they tried to make, they knocked out of play. So it obviously worked.
I'm not going to ask you what the tactics are. This is your chance to either be truthful or give the opposition a dummy, Gateshead. What's your tactics going to be going into this Sunday's match?
To get in the faces again. I went to watch them last night against where they played, Alfredson last night, and they won 2-1, and they got some good players. If you give them time and space to get their head up and play, so. It's not rocket science, mate, and they'll know what I'm about. They'll know exactly what I'll be like.
And this might sound like a stupid question, but you still need to answer it. What would it mean to Warrington Town to get through to the third round?
Well, to be honest, mate, I think for non-league football at our level, the Evo Stick League, I think it is absolutely massive. And that's not just for Warrington Town. Obviously, there's a selfish side to it where we earn a lot of money out of it, and you could get a plum draw like Man United, Liverpool, Everton, anyone, Chelsea. But I think it is a massive statement for non-league football. And I'm banging the drum for non-league football now. I've spent all my life, football life, in professional. And I'll tell you what, there's some good players down here and there's some good football players. It's a great advert for that to say, yeah, you can have your Premier, but let's go get out and support non-league football. And I think that's a big message to send out.
And Sean Reid, on that note, I can't think of a better way to end the interview.
So cheers, Bob.
So I'm just going to say thanks for joining us in the NPL show. And on behalf of everyone here, really the best of luck against Gateshead on Sunday. We hope you win.
Cheers, mate. I appreciate it.
So that was me there interviewing Sean Reid. And thank you to Sean Reid for being so lovely.
What jumper now, did he have on?
Grey. Grey. It was a grey jumper. It was actually
did
grey
he have
jumper.
One of those Harry Hill collars?
Yes, he did.
I thought he might.
Anyway,
he's passionate though, isn't he? And that's the one thing you get with Sean. And we said about it, just going back to him quickly, we said about his team, he gets them to work hard.
I mean, he's quite clear in that interview. He does feel that if they win over the weekend, then it'll be a win for the Evo Stick and the NPL, and it'll just show what non-league football is all about.
Well, I think what's clear now is that, I mean, I don't think if you would have said at the start of the season, well, everyone's going to give Warrington a load of support in anything, you know, you wouldn't have expected it. But, I mean, everyone probably is behind him now. You know, I'm not a great lover of Warrington previously in the past, as I'm sure a few are aware, but...
It's a greater good, though, Aaron, isn't it? Yeah. It's a greater good.
But no, I really do want to... You know, to want to see them win because, you know, it's phenomenal what he's done. The thing that always strikes me about Sean Reid when I speak to him is just how much he loves football. What I think hasn't been mentioned yet, though, is how big of a game this actually is for Gateshead as well. Like, Gateshead are a conference team who've, as far as I'm aware, in many, many years, have not made the third round. You know, this is a chance for Gateshead as a conference team to get a draw on it in a tie at the Emirates at Old Trafford. It's a huge game for them. You know, they're going to be really, really pumped for this just as much
as Warrington. But equally for the whole of the North East, because if Gateshead and Blyth get through to the next round, the whole of the North East is going to be behind them. I'd expect a large crowd, a lot of people from some of the Gateshead area, the Newcastle area itself, to go and watch that game. So they'll certainly be outnumbered, the home fans. And, you know, that, again, because they are vocal, sort of like North East supporters, and they've got passion as well. So good luck to them.
Last word on Warrington to you, James.
Yeah, obviously, both teams now officially halfway to Wembley as well, down to the last 84 of the competition. Six games left. So for Warrington, this is going to be their big opportunity to make history, become the newest Blyth, become the newest Altrincham.
Newest Blyth.
FC
United, thank you.
You're saying there, though, James, about halfway to Wembley. If Warrington had been a Premier League or a Championship club, they'd have actually won the cup.
They started in August against Barton... Old boys.
Barton Town Old Boys
of the North East Counties or Northern East Counties or something.
You have to start somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway.
Absolutely.
So that's Sunday's game sorted. That's going to be live on BT Sport. Check your TV listings against Gateshead away.
I'll get radio times on me. Christmas radio time. Oh!
But,
look at that.
But,
completely pointless, 200 pages.
That's going to be a lunchtime kickoff on Sunday. Prime time, though, on Friday night.
Yes. Prime time for what?
Jonathan Pearce from Robot Wars is back for Hartlepool United against Blyth Spartans.
Well, at least there won't be any goal line technology confusing, will there?
That's true. That's true. So, what do we reckon to this one then? This is Hartlepool United. Jeff Stelling. I feel honoured just even discussing them.
No, this was undoubtedly, in my opinion, the tie of the round when they did the whole draw. It was one. We were all stood in Curzon's clubhouse watching the draw before.
We were,
a horrible Dudes and Cup night, as I'm sure you guys agree.
Oh, no, I'm getting a flashback. Oh, what have you done?
But anyway,
that was our FA Cup, that.
James, ring me
counsellor. But we were all...
counsellor, please, can you not...
We were all stood in this clubhouse, and it was the one time when it came out, everyone gasped and... You know, and ooed, and it was just... this is definitely the tie around it. So it's brilliant that an Evo Stick team is getting the prime spot, because at the end of this, there's no other football on Friday nights, really, these days.
Apart from BBC Radio Manchester at around about 20-7.
What, you got Rochdale Hornets? Anyway, go on.
Ooh! Gasp! It's a great tie for Blyth, and it's a good tie. It's a very good tie for Hartlepool. I fully expect a really... buoyant crowd there, a good game of football, and you would expect Hartlepool to go on and win that game. However, Blyth are notorious from the early 70s onwards to this present day. They've always done well in cup competitions. And I would like them. I as I said, last season for me, the best team FC United came up against was Blyth and Ramsbottom United. And it would be really, really good to see them going one step further. And as I say, the North East will be fully behind him, so he can expect, you know, Blyth to take a lot of fans there. They've got a good management team there. They've got a good attacking forward line. They've got a good all-round team, and they know how to win cup football matches. You know, that's, and it's interesting, isn't it, when you talk about a club. Those players in 1978 that started the ball rolling with it, and then going further and further, well, none of them play anymore. But it's interesting how a club still maintains. You know what I mean? Yeah. But how they maintain,
none of them play at all.
How they maintain that tradition of winning well in the cup. You know, players even from 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. But a brand new team now, and they still understand the importance of what it means, the history of the cup for the likes of Blyth, which again is testament to the way the football club is run.
If anything, this is going to be the game where there is going to be a shock. Hartlepool were a target team in the draw. They're rock bottom of League Two by about 5 or 6 points. Their home form is absolutely horrendous. This is Blyth's opportunity to make the 33rd appearance in the FA Cup a good one. This is a great opportunity for him to do it.
Has he stolen a Berkey statistic pill tonight? Why did I remember?
I was going to say, you don't beat half the Evil Stick League in the FA Cup and not expect them to do well.
Bracket of death, everyone. Right, it had to come up. At the end of this first part of the Evo Stick MPL show, we will be speaking to Matt Carruthers, press officer from Blyth Spartans, but we're just going to take a slight detour into the world of the FA Trophy now.
First round
starts on Saturday, the 13th of December. There are still representatives from the Evo Stick League in the FA Trophy. And these are the ties. FC United against Harrogate Town, Gateshead against Hales Owen Town, Hyde FC against Spennymoor Town, and Ramsbottom United against Stockport County. Let's talk about the tie of the round. That surely is Ramsbottom United against Stockport County.
What? It's not Hyde v Spennymoor? What are you talking about? Yeah.
No,
Is the Hyde game going to be televised?
I mean, what a draw for Ramsbottom. I mean, you saw the delight on Twitter visibly, you know, from everyone at Ramsbottom that they got such a tie. In the same respect, you saw tweets from people from Stockport County who everyone's now saying that'll be a tough tie. I mean, listen, 6-7 years ago, that tie is never in a million years going to happen. It's incredible how Ramsbottom have, you know, obviously risen like they have, and Stockport have fallen, but you know, it's going to be a tough tie. I spoke to the Stockport Express's county correspondent, Gavin Brown, before he knew who County drew. Obviously, I told him, and his reaction was, oh, bloody hell. Meaning, you know, there's an upset on the cards there. You know, I think Ramsbottom are good enough to go and cause a big upset.
Especially
there.
At their own place.
Yeah, they played each other in a friendly a couple of seasons ago, and Rammy were 3-0 up in no time whatsoever. But there's a load of stories in this game. This pupil versus master, John Owen Bernard versus Alan Lard, the manager of Stockport County.
Oh, I thought that was a mythological book I wasn't aware of.
No. But Jono was...
I thought it was sung by Depeche Mode.
Jono was managed by Lardy over at Atherton Calls, and there's some good stories. You should ask him about him. Anyway, there's also the Spencer brothers. They'll be facing off against each other, and it's just going to be one of the best ties ever in the FA Trophy, I think. I'm actually going to miss Hyde versus Spennymoor. Go and watch it. I'm very excited.
The next big game I would suggest involving MPL Evo 6 sides is, of course, Gateshead against Hales Owen Town. That's a conference side against an MPL Premier Division side. We've already mentioned Gateshead, nice football inside. Hales Owen Town, though.
Never heard of them, baby. That's Belper.
But Hales Owen, they've got a good chance there.
Anyone think
Hales Owen's got a good chance?
I think it would be nice to hear from a Hales Owen fan in that regard, because I'd obviously give an opinion about a team I've not seen this season.
Has anyone seen Hales Owen?
No. I've speaked to him quite a lot. Ben Hazley, this is going to be his big opportunity to show what he can do against high opposition.
So we reckon Ramsbottom's got a chance. We don't think Hales Owen has.
Well, the 15th in the Northern Premier Division at this moment in time. You know, they're conceding quite a few, not a lot of goals. They conceded only 17, but scored 24. So resolute in defence. Again, Gateshead. For Gateshead, I suppose what you would say is it surely depends on the FA Cup game first, because they've got that tough game, against Warrington. If that doesn't if they don't win that, they're going to find it tough to play against Hales Owen, I think.
True.
So we'll have to see, really. But you would suggest if Gateshead win against Warrington, then I would expect them to beat Hales Owen equally. Mm-hmm. But again, it's going to be a tough ask.
Elsewhere, I think the third most important tie involving Evo Stick MPL sides has to be FC United against Harrogate Town of the Conference North. Because, top end of the table, FC United against Conference North, Harrogate Town. What do you reckon?
FC to win that one, personally, because Harrogate are struggling in the Conference North as well, right, at this moment in time. I think there's a few money worries there too. So I'm looking to generally... I think who's it just released recently back into Division 1 North?
He's captive bred for four years. Release him from Yorkshire.
I can't remember the name of the player, but he's... So you can see there's troubles there, and FC United can... We heard from it last night on what FC United can do. They make the best of a bad situation at times.
I was going to say, I would say a draw. So I think that says everything.
That would suit FC United's form, I think, a draw.
Yeah, the one thing is cup football is so unpredictable. I mean, we saw last night FC United for 70 minutes primarily dead and buried in a game 2-0 down.
Wasn't it 90 minutes?
Well, for seven. Well,
yeah, also, it's all a blur the last five. It's just
primarily they didn't really get going for 70 minutes, and then they just started kicking in really with about 15 minutes to go, and they score three goals. And cup football's like that sometimes. And sometimes in any football game, when you can score like the death like that, that can carry you and start your season off. It's going to be a tough encounter. A lot of teams have come to Stalybridge Bridge this season, and it's not the fortress that Bury was, in fairness. The pitch is a little bit narrower, and it's obviously got a bit of slope on it. And it's a traditional non-league ground. Some teams and players freeze at bigger grounds, and some players thrive. Our players froze last night to a degree.
It is freezing.
It was indeed. It was very cold last night. It's a hard one to call. That if FC United are on the metal, they can win that game. But I think it possibly could go to a draw.
And we should say the only team in Harrogate we like is Harrogate Railways. Just to throw that out there.
Correct.
Right, okay. And that's the FA Trophy done, isn't it?
No, there's another team.
Seven one against Frickley, I think, on Monday night, wasn't it?
Congratulations to Harrogate Railways.
And Nathan Cartman was 30 goals already or something this season?
Back in the room. Come on, Ryan, talk about it. Come on, Burke.
Off 18 games.
The mighty Hyde FC versus Spennymoor Town.
Yes.
Well, Hyde, stop gassing you two. This is important, this is Hyde.
You've lost the room. Go on.
Is it Hyde? Can I get a beer?
Do anyone want a wee? A beer and
could we just Hyde. Hold the proceedings and then... You know,
listen.
Are we still talking about them when we get back?
Swampy Spennymoor, your thoughts?
I think, in all fairness,
they're,
I think
they're built tough in the North East, aren't they? All from the Northern League.
The team, well, they are indeed. Mm. Yeah, Jarrah Roofing, no exception to that either. But the tie I wanted was FC United versus against Hyde. That was the game I really wanted. at your place. I thought it'd be good. So I want Hyde to get through, and I want FC United to play Hyde in the next round of the cup. But however, I think Spennymoor will beat them.
They will.
Aaron, your thoughts on Spennymoor's chances?
Yeah, no, Spennymoor were desperately unlucky not to make the FA Cup first round themselves against, was it Conference Opposition or Conference North? It was at Telford, wasn't it? But I think they conceded twice late on, so I mean, they clearly can do it against higher level teams, and after watching Hyde on Monday night, I can't see Hyde getting a result in all honesty.
And James?
again, good opportunity for Spennymoor as well, building on the form they've got at the moment in the league. Obviously against rock bottom in the Conference North, why not? Let's go see him have a go.
The Tigers, Ben, the mighty Hyde FC,
yeah,
came from behind thrice to beat Tamworth on Saturday.
You're not James Stannage, you can't use words like
thrice,
that.
Thrice, I say, thrice. They're playing Babe Pilov in the next round.
So what do you reckon then to this?
Oh, we'll get battered.
Really? Is that what you're going with?
Last time you said that, a team won.
So, predictions. We've got four sides potential to go through to the second round. How many will go through in the FA Trophy?
Two.
Some of them.
Come on, get off the fence.
I'm going to say that 50% will, and the other 50% will go to a replay.
So, definitely two.
At least two to stroke three.
I'm going to say Spennymoor plus either Rami or FC.
Rami, Spennymoor and FC.
But not both.
So you're going to go with three now?
Let's go for three. Who's the other one?
That's Hales Owen against Gateshead.
Oh, let's go all four. Why not? Come on, Northern Premier.
And James Hayes from the MPL's Facebook group, sponsored by Evo Stick. How many?
One and then two via replay.
Right, you heard it here first, folks. If you want to complain, go to the Evo Stick MPL Facebook group. Right.
I'm doing all right this year.
That is the end of part one. Coming up now is an interview with Matt Carruthers from Blyth Spartans. Just a reminder, Hartlepool United against Blyth Spartans is live on BBC Two. On Friday night with Jonathan Pearce from Robot Wars. Not sure if Craig Charles is going to be there.
Craig,
but
Charles joining
in, Sergeant Bash is going to be there, certainly.
Well, thanks, Ben. It's now time to talk about this issue with the man who should know. It's the press officer from Blyth Spartans. It's only Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark. Are you okay?
I'm fine, thanks. Yourself?
I'm not so bad. Friday, the 5th of December, BBC Two. It's live. Hartlepool against Blyth Spartans. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's a big game, isn't it? It's arguably the biggest tie of the round, I would say. It's a derby, a northeast derby. It's, you know, Hartlepool struggling in the league. Blyth, admittedly, looks like we're struggling in the league, but in pretty good form recently. So, you know, the makings are there for an upset. If it happens, it'll be great for the club and probably mean my work rate goes into overdrive. But really looking forward to it. And as I say, it's, you know, we're going to be backed by a big band of the Green Army going down to Hartlepool.
So how many of the Green Army officially are going to this one?
Well, officially, we have just sold about 1,080 tickets, I think. Right. It is. However, we have been given an extra 250. So if they sell out, you know, you're looking at just below 1,300, which is very impressive.
What's the preparation been like going into this one then for the team and the club as a whole?
It's been just hectic, that's the only way I can put it. Even sort of 2 weeks before the actual game, I know this week the lads have trained Monday and Wednesday. We had a press conference on Tuesday, and it's just been great. I mean, the national press have picked it up probably more than the local press, which has been good to see. And you know, I keep getting told by fans of a certain other northeast non-league club that I work for a small club, but you know, small clubs don't get articles in the Times and places like that, which has been quite nice. Right. But anyway, it's been a great build-up. And for me personally, since I came to the club 3 years ago, there's this reputation of cup giant killers. And the last 2 years, we got knocked out by Workington and AFC filed last year. So I was starting to think maybe I should leave the club and, you know, maybe then they would have a cup run. Maybe it was down to me. But this year has been brilliant. I mean, I know you guys kind of looked at the part of the draw we were in the preliminary rounds, and it was horrific. Mm-hmm. You know, the likes
bracket,
of Darling.
Bracket of Death, it was known as.
It was, yes. I remember that. You know, we came out of that. And then even the Michelover Sport, who obviously in the lower league than us, they were in form at the time. Leek were in good form at the time. And we had to go down there and got through it. And then to get Altrincham, which was always going to be a difficult game, although we made it look fairly comfortable, we'll say, in the end, beating them 4-1. And it's set up a great tie with Hartlepool. So it's been a memorable run for myself and the club.
Do you dare to dream? What would happen if you did get to the third round?
Well, I'd probably have to take 2 weeks off work to prepare for it, by the sounds of it. But I know that there's a lot of experience at the club from the Blackburn Cup run that we had in 2009. In terms of the supporters, I mean, they've gone crazy for the Hartlepool game. If, as you say, dreaming, we were to get a Chelsea or an Arsenal or someone like that, and let's be honest, every supporter in the country is thinking about that. You know, if they're a non-league fan who gets to the second round, I can't even put into words how it would be. It would just be unbelievable to see an Arsene Wenger or a Jose Mourinho parading up and down the touchline at Croft Park. It'd be surreal, but just amazing.
If we can bring you back down to earth and just talk about the league form for a second, we've got you back here. We recognise that you've played about 8 games less than anyone else.
Yeah.
How easy is it to go back to the league after this cup run?
It's a bit of a balancing act, isn't it? It's sort of, you're on a high after the cup, but you've got to accept that the league is your bread and butter. And, you know, we need to get points. We know we do. the cup's a nice distraction, but at the end of the day, those games in hand, we have to win. There's added pressure on the players and the management to get that. The good thing in our favour is that a majority of those games are actually at home.
Yes.
I think we spoke the last time we met about the fact that we played something like 6 or 7 games in a row away from home, and we just couldn't seem to get a Croft Park game in. But we have got a lot coming up, and our league form's not actually as bad as what the league position suggests. We have won a few of our last few games. Had a good win against a determined Witten Albion side on Saturday, and we've just got to make those games in hand count. I think I did work out the perfect scenario. If we would win all 8 games in hand that we have on most teams, we'd end up 3rd, which would be quite nice. Mm-hmm. But I can't see that happening, if I'm honest. You know, the lads are on a high, as you can expect, with mm-hmm. the FA Cup run. There's been a few sacrifices made in terms of the FA Trophy run. We couldn't get a side out of the replay at Hale Zone, which was unfortunate. You know, we had a bit of I wouldn't say a second string, but it was a vastly rotated side, we'll say. Went out against a strong Hale Zone side, but there is a lot of focus on the cup running. You know, Friday just can't come quick enough, it really can't.
Well, Mark Carruthers, on behalf of everyone here at the EvoStick MPL show, we really, really, really do genuinely wish you all the best of luck on Friday. And I'll be looking for you on the touchline, trying to photo bomb or camera bomb the BBC coverage.
I'll be the one pushing Alan Shearer out of the way to get onto the pitch. Don't worry about that.
Welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport for November's edition of EvoStick MPL show. Banter, whatever you want to call it. I'm Ben. Round the table, we've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror eating a pork pie.
Well, hello.
An award-winning pork pie. We've got the award-winning Never Swamper from Five Live.
We represent the MPL group, the MPL group, the MPL group. We represent the MPL group.
I'm so tempted to put an effect on that to make it even more high-pitched.
Please do.
From Radio Manchester, we've got Ian Burke. Hello.
The pork pie's from Titterton's, by the way. They're excellent.
And we've got James Hayes, all the way from the EvoStick MPL Facebook group, which Hello. You can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter @the MPL group. And if you can't watch BBC on Friday, we're doing a live commentary for the game as well.
Is that further away than, like, all the way from? I mean, does that mean because it's is it a lot further away than where we are?
It's in a cloud.
Is it? Mm. All right. Okay.
So, enough of this cup action stuff. It's now time to focus on the bread and butter, the pork pie, if you will, of football, the league. Skelmersdale United still out in front. Well, however,
I've just switched off now, though, then.
However... Curzon and Ashton are in second, found a bit of form, got 3 games in hand. What's happening, Aaron?
Exactly that. We've found a bit of form, and not unexpected either. We've been struggling with a little bit of injuries through the season. Went on a little patch of results where, you know, it was clearly affecting us. And but yeah, we know we've bounced back. Well, we've you know, picked up a few good results, and the fixture list across the next month is very favourable to us. So I expect us to keep on rising at the moment. We've still got another player to come back from injury, so you know, we're playing great football. We're pretty clinical in front of goals. If we can just kind of edge out a little bit of the sloppiness at the back, which we didn't have last season, that we've kind of picked up this season, then we should be up there.
What do you make of the top three at the moment? Because for last month's show, it was pretty clear they were all out in front. They've kind of been stuttering a bit. Some of them have had the trough already and have come back again. The games played is all over the place. We need someone to make sense of this. I can't think of anyone better than you, Burke. What on earth is going on?
Well, I wouldn't be too surprised if the top three stay as they are by the end of the season, although maybe in a slightly rejigged order, because say it very, very quietly, because I don't want to give Aaron a big head or anything, but I've got a sneaky feeling that Curzon are going to win the league. Because look at Skem, they're having a wobble at the minute. They're having the traditional end-of-season wobble, but bang in the middle. Buxton in third place at the moment, they've been having a wobble. 1 win in 6 or 7 at the moment. And Curzon, they had a bit of a spinectomy, didn't they, a few weeks ago. They lost to Belper at the bottom of the table. They lost to Frickley, I think it was. And But now they've got a couple of central defenders back in Andy Watson and John Hunt. They've got Alex Brown back.
Saying that Andy Watson's suffered another quite serious injury, he'll be out for some time.
Oh, really?
Now.
Well, they've got most of them back.
We've just signed a couple of decent players. We signed Tom Eckersley, centre-back from Fylde, who's come in, done very well, scored on his debut as well. We signed Tom Schofield, midfielder from Trafford. So again, it's more strength in depth, and the squad's looking quite strong now, so we are quite confident still.
I do think that the top three will probably be that top three by the end, although I've got a sneaky feeling about Ilkeston. Even old Che Adams has gone to Sheffield United, and he's a big player for him, but...
I mean, I'll talk briefly about the top three at this moment in time. I think, in all fairness, to predict who's going to win a league at this stage of the season is nonsensical. I really do. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Boom. One of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
Take that,
Baker. Who's going to win. You can make your predictions at the beginning of the season. And then you can actually look at it. The teams at the top, I've seen, and they're all good teams. But I don't think you can turn around and say that those teams, without a shadow of a doubt, are going to be there.
To be fair, you've only seen the Curzon reserve side.
Well, that's a very good point. But I've seen Curzon actually earlier in the season, and they were tremendous. But the one thing I've seen, and it's an interesting, I think, looking at the performances of teams after they've played FC United, it'd be interesting to look at the stats, because it seems to me that most teams go and get beat the week after they play FC. They may beat FC. They may have beaten.
It's our cup final.
You can take the boy out. You can take the boy out of United.
Stourbridge were tremendous with good pace, good quality. They bullied FC United. They won. They got beat at home by Barwell three days later. It takes them out of teams. I expect FC United to be up there. I think Ilkeston, they've lost Che, as you say, but they've got a great conveyor belt of quality footballers. Mm-hmm. I mean, them and Rami are the most entertaining teams to watch, no question about it.
I'm going to cleverly segue now from the top of the table to the bottom of the table by having one side mentioned who can potentially link the two. If Blyth Spartans win all their games in hand, they go third.
Yes.
Oh. Anyway, relegation zone. So, we've got Belper Town down there, Trafford, Marine. However, I would like to mention Witton Albion.
Well, I thought you were going to mention Witton just then, because about a week and a half ago, they beat Buxton, and convincingly at Silverlands as well.
A few days after putting five past Ashton United as well.
Exactly, about a week before.
Well
done. Yeah. Just keep going, boys. Keep going.
The thing with Witter, obviously, it's taken a while, it seems.
It's taken a while.
Oh, sorry.
I'm the manoeuvre.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the entire guys around here are eating pork pies.
Great radio.
Can I just say, before any show, as the producer of the show, we do a health assessment and a risk assessment to...
And pork pie eating.
You know what? They've got this, but mega strong mustard it, and it just went down the wrong goal.
Oh, it's Belsey mustard. Can I just ask a quick question? Because last season, by this point in time, it was pretty clear that Joelsden was struggling.
Well, they had 2 points, didn't they?
Stafford was struggling.
We had four.
At this moment in time, no one really is too far adrift. Do we think?
No, I think you're dead right there. I mean, you're looking at the bottom. I mean, Belper have been a team that have been on the back end of a lot of games, and that's all that takes. It's a couple of games. It is good. I mean, as I say, this season, this division is intriguing because it's now impossible to predict it. You look at the teams below there. You know, Nantwich, Witton, Marine. I mean, it's amazing. Marine is still down there with the squad that they've got, with the quality that they've got. But I mean, they've got 17 points. But again, at this stage of the season, 17 points compared to this time last season with teams on 2 points and 4 points. Mm. Well, you knew who was going down last year, this year. It will be the highest points tally for the teams that get relegated this season.
Yeah, I think because this league is so tough.
Well, and as you say, you know, Belper did a job against you. Yeah. And you could be on 30 points this season, 35-40 points, and maybe get relegated.
In the same respect, I said to someone else a couple of weeks ago, normally when teams win divisions at this level, they lose 5, maybe 6 games through a season. I think the team who's going to win the division this year might lose 10-11. but simply because it's that tight, it's that competitive, and everyone's beating everyone. You know, it's a really exciting division to be following.
James, your time has come. Just to say, we're interviewing Richard Clark, one of the media people at Stourbridge, and he says, because obviously they were in the Southern League last year and they finished fifth, he says the top half of the table is very... You could compare the two. However, the bottom half, he suggests that the bottom half of the NPL is a lot more tougher.
It is.
Than the Southern League. And speaking of excitement, the Dudeson Sports League Cup third round draw took place. Farsley FC are going to play Sheffield FC. Harrogate Railways are going to play Spennymoor Town. Ilkeston are hosting Lincoln United. Lancaster City are hosting Marine. That's a tough game. Ramsbottom United are hosting Northwich Victoria. Spalding United are going to play either Barwell or Gresley. Stafford Rangers or Rush or Olympic. Bracket of Death are going to play Warrington Town. Or Sutton Coldfield Town, Claxon, Claxon, are going to play host Leek Town. So, that is the end.
I'm just thinking on that. Just
yes?
Early now, but I think looking at those teams, it wouldn't surprise me if the likes of Ramsbottom and Ilkeston are the two teams certainly semi-finalists. I think Leek Town will be up there.
Are we covering it again this year? The
final.
Yeah,
we'll cover it again this year. But I think as you said earlier on, you know, Ramsbottom are taking things seriously this year on all fronts. You want to win a trophy, and it gets to you either play at Stockport County or another league ground. Hopefully, it's good prize money, and equally they're an attractive team. And I'd love to see an Ilkeston Ramsbottom final. That would be a tremendous final. But Leek Town again. Play some great football. I think they're you know, scoring goals for fun again.
What about Sutton Coldfield Town though? Surely they play good football as well.
Sutton Coldfield Claxon. Hooray! Just to say, that is the end of Aaron Flanagan on tonight's show. So thank you for joining us, Aaron. Yeah. Off you pop back to Canary Wharf or wherever you have to you go work nowadays.
Yeah, no, I'm going.
Coming up next is an interview with Stourbridge's media press guy, Richard Clark.
Very nice as well, wasn't he?
Eh?
Very nice.
I don't think we met him.
Have we not?
No.
He's a lovely guy.
General people at Stourbridge were nice people.
Yes, that's what I meant, yeah. Very nice.
Lovely
people,
club.
Yes.
And we've got an interview coming up with Richard Clark. Just for those people who monitor these things on a spreadsheet, that club is based in the West Midlands, not in the Northwest.
Yes.
Anyway.
Right, we're now joined by a member. From the, the member of the Stourbridge media team, it's Richard Clark. Hello, Richard, how are you?
Hi, Ben, very well, thank you very much. Yourself?
Not so bad. So, how's the season gone so far at Stourbridge?
I suppose if I was picking a single word, inconsistent. We've been very up and down. We've had some good games, some good results, some not so good. I think one of the key things for us probably is the first goal, I think. 29 games we played this season, and the team that scored the first goal has only gone on to lose once. So, right. You know, that's been a crucial thing for us. And we've had so many inconsistent results that it's been an up and down season so far.
This season at the start of the year was very much a trip into the unknown, really, for Stourbridge, wasn't it? Because you've come from the Southern League, where you finished fifth last year.
A little bit, yeah, but being where we are in very north of the Southern League that we used to be, we've always tended to be lumped in with the north, if I can use that expression, in FA Cup and trophy draws.
Yes.
So last season we played Workington, Curzon, North Ferriby, Mickleover. You know, I know some of those are Conference North clubs, or were at the time, but we're used to travelling in this neck of the woods.
How's it?
It wasn't completely unknown.
How's the transition been, though? Because it's difficult to compare last season with this season, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I would say if you're asking me to compare the two leagues, I think the top half of the two divisions is probably very similar. But I think from what I've seen so far, probably the bottom half of the NPL is probably a bit stronger than the bottom half of the Southern League. Certainly the last couple of years in the Southern League, there's been a couple of whipping boys where you could pretty much guarantee yourselves 3 points. And that hasn't been the case, certainly, from what we've seen this year. Apart from maybe Belper, I might be doing them a disservice, but we've beaten them 4-0 twice. Right. And I think both have been fair results. But again, you know, they're not cut adrift or anything like that. So I think it's very competitive at the bottom end.
Your standard of football then, I've seen you once and I was very, very impressed with how powerful you were and how quick you were. And is that true? Is that a true reflection, or were you just up in your game?
I don't know. I've heard it said that we are a big physical team, and I've got to be honest, I just don't get that. I wish we were a bit bigger. we got one or two big lads at the back, maybe. But I wish we were a bit more physical. I don't think we put ourselves about. I think sometimes we can be lightweight, and I wouldn't say we've been bullied. That's not true. But I think sometimes we've come up against a team that has been too strong for us. I'll give you last Tuesday. I know we played you the previous Saturday, mm-hmm. or played FC United the previous Saturday, but last Tuesday we played Barwell at home, and we've always had trouble with Barwell in the Southern League. They're a strong pressing team. They don't give you time on the ball. And dare I say, we perhaps haven't learned from that over the last few years. And they made life very, very difficult for us. But they've added to their game as well since we last played them in the Southern League, some good football, which they didn't always used to play. And I think they're one of the best teams I've seen this season. But they didn't allow us to play, and we've got to learn to cope with that.
And as a club, the War Memorial Ground, I have to say, has gone into my top 10 grounds.
Ooh, thank you
in
very
the
much.
League. I love it. It's proper old school. It's
definitely.
I also like grounds where it's a cricket pitch in the summer. I quite like that. What's the future for Stourbridge?
We're fairly confident. I think I'm fair to say that we can get it up to Conference North standard. Probably some people's jaws have hit the floor when they hear that. But I think we can do it.
So coming into the Northern Premier League this season, and like I said, last season you finished fifth in the Southern League, is the target to go into conference football?
Definitely in the long or even short term. We've perhaps gone a little bit backwards on the pitch this season, perhaps compared with where we hoped we might be. But it's early days and we're still getting used to this league. The manager will probably tell you that, whether that's fair comment or just an excuse, I don't know. That's for others to judge.
It's football talk.
Yeah, it is. Of course it is. Same as, I could go on about all the injuries we've had.
Yeah.
But, that's a manager's job, not mine. I think we probably would hope to be in a little bit higher up the table than we are. We've got a few games in hand, but if we keep losing matches like we did last Tuesday and on Saturday, they'll run out quickly.
What do you reckon for this season then? Because there's a good chance that anyone in the top 17 could make the playoffs at this moment.
It's really tight. That's the one thing that I think strikes you when you look at the table. I know Skelmersdale have pulled away a little bit at the top, but they're not having great results at the moment, and they've played a lot more games. I think it's anybody's. I think, as you say, anybody from the top 15 or 16 can still make the playoffs, and I think that applies to us as much as anybody. But you've got to put some consistency together, and I don't really think any team's done that yet, from what I've seen.
Well, Richard, I'm going to let you go, but thank you for being... How many Midlands clubs now?
Quite a few, because we've got, there's us and Hales Owen.
Yeah, Hales Owen. We've had Sutton Coldfield on now as well.
Rushall.
Rushall. So well done. You're all doing really well as a region in pressurising the MPL show to pull the finger out and get yous all on. Tividale has been relatively quiet at the moment, but we'll see.
You'll get someone on from Tivy. They're a good club.
I've said it now, haven't I? Anyway.
Yeah, you have. You need someone on from Tivy.
Richard Clark, media... I'm going to call you media officer. I'm going to give you a title. Look at that. Media
Thank
officer
you very much.
At Stourbridge. Thanks for joining us on the Evil
Pleasure
Stick MPL show. Cheers, mate.
Welcome back to the Magnets here in Stockport for November's edition of the Evil Stick MPL show. Round the table, we've got the great and good. Actually, no, he's gone home. We've got what's left from the panel you loved and loathed from part one of this month's show. We've got Swampair from
FC Radio. If I only had the brain!
We've got Ian Burke.
I don't know enough about The Wizard of Oz to do a little skit on that.
You look like you actually look like the lion.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
He does, yes.
And from the MPL Facebook group.
He definitely is the Tin Man.
And from... Does that make me Dorothy?
Here's Dorothy now, but...
And from the NPL Facebook group sponsored by EvoStick, we've got James Hayes.
Hello.
And we've got some correspondence. But first off, how do people do correspondence in this kind of post-analogue age?
They do it at facebook.com/groups/ the NPL, or on Twitter at the NPL group. And we hit the 4,000 mark this week as well. So.
Yes, congratulations. Well, and this show got a mention.
4,000 yes. shadows.
I'm amazed.
4,000 people.
They're applauding at the bar. This is a magical moment for the NPL group. Now, what correspondence have we been seeking? Right.
So the question I asked this week is, now we're fixed to the halfway through the season, what you said at the beginning of the year, is it any different now? So, has your mind changed about the start of the season, what your expectations were?
Okay.
Okay, so starting
to be fair,
with...
though, everyone has high expectations at the start of the year. And then gradually they stop listening to the show as their expectations are
very much
put
like
to one side.
Yeah.
Yes. So, are they still with us, some of these people? Oh, that's good news.
We've got new people as well tonight.
You're more than welcome, listener. Go on.
So I'm going to do all the new people first as well. So start with Ian Anderson, Scarborough fan. I think pre-season fans were hopeful for a tilt towards the title, but the playoffs is more likely now. They're seventh at the moment. Keeping the consistency is the main target. Guy Cooper from Hales Owen. They thought they'd have a sneaky outside chance at the playoffs, but it's a bigger step than they thought. They're looking to finish more towards the playoffs, but the mid-table's more expected. Lloyd Berry from Warrington. To be honest, he never got tested in the pre-season, but getting to the FA Cup second round is a big, big must. But they're struggling in the league. Obviously, the game's got in hand, potentially the playoffs. David Osborne from Rushall. Transition under sneaks at Rushall, ups and downs, too open at times. Looking for more mid-table. Stampy, I've got to give him every time. Nope, I said from the start, if Stamford stay out of the bottom four, you're happy. He's got to be happy enough at the moment. Mark Whitter, who's a Stafford fan. In the top 10, maybe the playoffs if out the Cups early enough was the hope. And we're still on target for that. Disappointed we're out the Cups so early on, but the main focus is should the league and stability and the club survival be first. And then finally, Mark Keown from Radcliffe, same as pre-season, staying up is the target and so far so good.
Ben
Burke,
we should go to Mickle over.
Right, yes. Let's.
No, really, we should go Mickle over. I think it's going to be dead good. Never mind TV day up.
So, it's now time to turn our eyes to First Division South football.
Have we just done the North?
Yes.
No, we do the North.
Oh, now, what have I missed?
We know about them. Now, Sutton Coldfield, Claxon, please. Sutton Coldfield Town are out in front, and they're joined by Newcastle Town. But a few points behind them, though, in third place, and a possible contender for the EvoStick NPL Roadshow when we go down south, Michelover Sports.
Yes.
This is an exciting league, isn't it?
Ben, yeah. Michelover Sports, they are steaming it there if you look at it. They've won all nine games at home. The only problem is they've only played seven away from home, and their away form isn't too sparkling. They've done all right. They've won half the ones away and this, that and the other. But the home form, is that going to carry them through to the end of the season? Well, I expect it will, because if you win nine on the spin at home, then you're going to carry it through. Well, you're not going to win every game, but you're going to do well. You look at Sutton Coldfield, they've won 8 out of 10. It's good.
They're cool cats, then.
They are cool cats, aren't they? I love Sutton Coldfield, actually, myself. Especially Sutton, the town part. I've run out of things to say, actually, Ben.
Burke. Thank you.
Burke. Yeah.
Swamper.
Again, it's a very, very even division this season. A lot of teams, with the exception really of Kidsgrove and Brigg Town, we'll come on to them probably shortly. But the top of the table, Sutton, Newcastle, Michelover, Spalding, Stafford Rangers. Look at Leek Town, they were at the top of the division for the most of the season. They were there for the most of the season last year. They've only played 15 games. They're doing well in cup competitions. They've got 34 points. They're scoring goals, 39-4, 16 against. And I think they scored 6 of the weekend again, or certainly joined this week they've scored. I expect them to be right up there. I expect Stafford Rangers, again, it's a brand new transition for Stafford Rangers with the manager from Rushall Olympic doing wonders there with virtually no budget and having to rely on bringing players that he knows and the knowledge, you know, getting to know the knowledge of the area. But Sutton Coldfield doing tremendously well. 46 points, great, great talent to have this day. You can certainly say they're not going down with 46 points this season.
You heard it here first on Coldfield.
Again, it's an interesting league. You know, there's teams that have played 21, there's teams that have played 16, 17, 15. But I fully expect it to be a very, very good finish.
Let's move to Division 1 North. Darlington, 1883. Salford City, Drawlesden, Northbridge Victoria, Farsley are in the mix. Again, we've got a division where teams have played less than others around them. This, too, is looking like a beast of a running about to... we're about to enter into.
It's such a good division.
Isn't it?
It really is. You cannot pick a winner. Although I am going to pick a winner and say that Darlington are
going to
do it.
Say Drawlesden.
Well, Drawlesden will be dark horses, though, weren't they, Ben? That's the thing. And I do think Drawlesden will still be top five.
What are you saying now? You put it back in the stable? Come on. Let it run.
I think, right, top three.
It's now starting to gallop, so he's getting giddy.
As with the Premier Division, I think the top three is going to stay the same. I really do.
Norwich Victoria are in your patch nowadays.
They were always in my patch.
Properly in your patch, though. What do you reckon to Norwich Victoria?
They're a good side. They're solid at the back, and they're pretty decent going forward. They've got Godwin Abadaki scoring plenty of goals. They've got Abu Sanogo, who's banging them in left, right, and centre.
You only mentioned them names because they're tremendous names, and you're the only ones who can pronounce them, aren't you?
Well,
at this
that,
stage of the evening, he actually is. Yes,
there is that, but they don't concede many Norwich. That's
well,
the thing.
Tough team. I mean, New Mills played them the other night.
Look at Bamber Bridge. I think Bamber Bridge.
It's a beautiful bridge.
They're the darkest horses of the lot.
How
they
many
are black beauty.
South of Preston.
Bamber Bridge are black beauty. And I think they're going to get promoted this season.
Right. There's a prediction.
I'll say.
James, you've got first hand experience of this division. Yes.
Also, we're starting to see this. We're at the beginning of the season. This is going to be a two. Basically two divisions in one, and we're starting to see that now. The only team that's in a real false position is Warrington, obviously through the cup run, but we're starting to see a couple of teams that are, I'm shocked to see in that top half. So you've got Railway performing well at the moment,
better than Harrogate Town.
Exactly.
Go on.
The three teams up there, in reality, I mean, Darlington, I saw them against Radcliffe, and Radcliffe were better on the night and perhaps deserved to win that game. But the one thing about Darlington is they can change their tactics very, very well. They can play football if they need to, but in certain games they can be robust and strong, and they are a very, very good team. Salford City, they've had a bit of a blip. Phil there, I mean, it's an envy. In a way, it's the greatest job in the world. In another way, it's probably the worst job in the world. As soon as you don't start playing particularly well, everyone's going, sack him, they're going to get rid of him, and so on and so forth. The board and the new remit with the CEO, the class of 92, together with the new other chairman, they're going to keep him there for 12 months, no question about it. Make sure that he gets the opportunity to show his mettle as a manager. And I expect Salford to be up there. Drolsden, well, I'm pleased with Drolsden because their demise has been for all to see, in all fairness. And it's nice to see a footballing team getting back to where they once were, and hopefully they can be one of the teams that may go back up as well. Northwich Victoria, again, they've got a manager there that's got league experience and has also been there or thereabouts for many, many years now, and they attract quite a lot of different players. And again, you know, they're good. But Farsley, again, a good strong team. Bamber Bridge strong, Scarborough strong. It's similar to our division. The Premier League is a hard, tough division.
Saturday, the 13th of December, I'd like to just highlight Bamber Bridge v Darlington. I think that would be quite a good game to go to. Right, so that is the...
Come on, you Mills.
That is the end.
NFC, come on, brother.
That is the end of...
Come on, Sutton Coldfield Town.
That is the end of the Evo Stick NPL show for another month.
Ben, can I just put a plea out?
Don't mention people from the South. We've had Stourbridge on. We do very well on Evo Stick Extra. We involve everyone. We're now universal.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
So, my thanks to all our guests on this month's show. Are you going to keep singing?
Where are we off to? We're all off to see the wizard.
Not yet.
The wonderful wizard of...
Don't peek. That's at the end. Remember last year's windy show we did?
Yeah.
Right?
People like
repetition. Let's come back to that. So, my thanks to this month's guests. We've had Sean Reed.
That's Richard. We're going to win that game.
Mark Carruthers, we've had Richard Clark from Stourbridge. Good luck to Warrington Town and Blyth Spartans in the FA Cup.
Yes.
Good luck to all our sides still left in the FA Trophy.
Apart from Spennymoor.
Come on, Spennymoor.
Come on, Spennymoor.
Thank you.
Come on, Spennymoor.
Thank you, democracy. Right there in action. My thanks as well to everyone around this table. Thank you to James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/NPL or at Twitter @the NPL group.
From the home of Minority Rugby League, we've got Ian Burke. Thank you for joining us this month.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
From Radio 5 Live and from SC United Radio, thank you to Swamper.
Thank you very much, Ben. Good evening.
And thank you from Piers Morgan's very own The Daily Mirror, Aaron Flanagan.
He looks like David Cameron.
Piers Morgan looks like
no.
I'm finding he looks nothing like
David Cameron.
He looks nothing like you.
Oh, I think you'll find he does.
So, from everyone here at the Magnet,
well done.
From everyone here at the Magnet, wherever you're going this month to watch your NPL sides, have fun. And we'll see you at Christmas for a Yuletide special.
Yeah!
Have they got a fire here?
Fire?
I'll tell you what.
A fire?
A fireplace.
You have, yes indeed.
Not
mine.
Yes.
There's an open fire.
Let's get that open fire up.
The only way to get there is to go away.
Off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. The wizard was, the wizard was. 30 points will keep you up.
EvoStick NPL Show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.